MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour is a free resource for people who want clear answers about Medicare, Social Security, and retirement. Hosted by Marvin and Josh Music, MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour gives your listeners the clarity they need to make confident healthcare choices. But don't take our word for it. Just ask Scott Wheeler, programming consultant.
Now, here's a show that's going to speak to a lot of people, whether they're personally facing Medicare decisions or maybe helping a family member do so.
Mark Pinsky, General Manager, WSBC AM, Chicago.
As you listen through the show, you really learn and understand how Medicare works.
MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour is a fast-paced weekly public affairs show with free expert advice and timely information to help your listeners navigate the Medicare maze.
With all these baby boomers now coming into the Medicare system, I think there's a real hunger for real actionable information like the Medicare School Answer Hour provides.
Medicare is a complex and ever-changing topic that everyone eventually faces. And each week on MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour, experts Marvin and Josh Music make it understandable and relatable.
Medicare is really, really complicated, and Josh and Marvin really break it down.
But it's not just about Medicare. They cover many important topics such as health and wellness, fitness, nutrition, insurance, retirement, and more.
The demographic is perfect because you have a lot of folks in their, say, 50s, maybe early 60s that still have spending money. So from a station programming standpoint, this show works.
It's appointment listening each weekend across America. MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour.
You know, it really sounds like a professionally executed segment that could show up on a news talk station.
I think it's a good idea and a good fit for most radio stations.
Now, check out MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour for yourself. Then send back the agreement to lock in your market.
You turn 65 and suddenly the whole world seems to know. Your mailbox fills up overnight. The TV ads start. Get your additional Medicare benefits before it's too late. Calls from strangers, mailers that look like government notices. Well, here's the truth. Almost none of that is designed to help you. It's designed to scare you, to make you feel like you're about to miss something huge. And the only way to fix it is to call an 800 number right now. So you call, and guess what happens? Turns out you don't qualify for whatever they advertised. Almost nobody does. But don't worry, they've got something else for you. Next you know, you're on the phone with someone who's been in the business less than a week, being sold a plan you never asked for. That's the bait and switch. It happens to millions of people every year. You don't have to be one of them. In just a few minutes, we're going to show you exactly what these traps look like so you can spot them before they cost you. I'm Josh Music. My dad, Marvin Music, is here with me. Together, we started MedicareSchool.com, and we've spent 17 years helping people get into Medicare right. No mistakes, no regrets, total peace of mind. Hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions more through our workshops and our YouTube channel. That's why every Monday through Thursday from 11 to noon Central, people call us live with their real Medicare questions. You're going to hear from some of those callers today. If you want to be one of them, 833-824-2004, Monday through Thursday, 11 to noon Central Time, 833-824-2004. We'd love to hear from you. Stay with us as we get into these common bait and switch tactics.
Well, Josh, as you know, I started Medicare just a few months ago, turned 65 in January. And what was interesting is I started getting bombarded with mail about 6 to 9 months prior to turning 65. I actually had someone knock on my door a couple times, left a sticky note telling me to call them. So the Medicare market is certainly very, very aggressive.
Didn't that guy that knocked on your door, didn't we end up hiring him?
Well, that was someone who called me.
Oh, somebody who called
me. Yeah, exactly right. But he did a great job presenting himself. And I said, hey, if you're ever looking for a better career path, give us a call.
Yeah, so if you ever work with a guy named Lucas at our company, no. He came because he harassed my dad.
Exactly right. He called me and we recruited him. He now works for us, yeah. And really a very good agent. So everyone that's turning 65 is going to get bombarded. You know, the list have been compiled for years and years and years, yeah. And there's no way you can escape that. They know about you. They know you're turning 65. And so you will be bombarded. Now, what's interesting, you're going to notice that you're not going to be bombarded about Medicare supplemental plans,
yeah,
ever.
Of course not.
In fact, occasionally you may see a MedSup ad, but not generally. So all the millions and millions of dollars it's spent on advertising for
Billions
Medicare.
Billions, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Is directed towards you getting a Medicare Advantage plan. Why is that? Well, because insurance companies make billions of dollars of profit. So that's what they want you to buy. And so there's basically two different tactics that are used. The first one that you're going to recognize is they're going to talk about perks such as a food card, transportation benefits, dental, vision, hearing, over-the-counter cards. And all those really are legitimate, but the problem is the ones that are advertised are normally for people that qualify for Medicare and Medicaid. In our business, we call that a dual eligible person. Just simply means not only do they have Medicare at 65, but they're also on Medicaid. And that means there's more money that's available for the insurance company to spend on you. Well, the truth is most people are not on. What happens is most people are not going to be on Medicaid. They don't qualify. They make too much money. They have too many assets. And so the truth is you're probably not going to qualify for Medicaid.
Generally speaking, what are the levels of assets and income? And I know it varies state to state, but I mean, it's pretty low.
Right. It's definitely, for a single person, you would have to make $18,000 or less.
In income.
In annual income, exactly, okay. Right? And the majority of people, they make that much in Social Security alone.
Right.
So the assets are going to be typically no more than $2,000. So it's very limited.
Is your house excluded from that sometimes? Sometimes not.
Couldn't tell you. I think it's going to vary.
I think it depends state, and that's also if you're married or not.
Exactly, so, right.
So basically what you're saying is like a lot of these things that are kind of advertised, are bait and switch because it's, hey, you're not even eligible because you're not on Medicaid.
Yeah, so that's the first thing they're going to find out. Okay. Are you on Medicaid? When they find out not, they're going to switch you then to, some other kind of a Medicare Advantage plan. But what's their goal? Their goal really is not to make sure you get all those benefits. The goal is to make sure you pick up the phone and call them and give them the opportunity to be able to tell you some other plan that you would qualify for.
Okay, so as a company, we obviously run advertisement. People maybe have found us through ads as well. So, I mean, I feel like somebody's going to end up helping you, right? So how do they determine whether this is a bait and switch or not? And I'm not trying to derail you, so maybe we'll save that question for a minute. But I was just thinking, like, I've called into these numbers off these advertisements just to see what the experience is like. And you'll call in and I've literally had it. I still remember I was on an entrance ramp because I was doing it in the car on an entrance ramp about 5 miles away from the office. I called they called me and they asked, hi, are you eligible for Medicare? And I was like, yeah, probably soon. And they said, do you have Part B yet? And I said, oh, no, not yet. I'm going to need some help with that. And the person just hung up.
Right.
Straight up. So it's like it's not necessarily bad to call but like a lot of the people that you're going to be calling, they may say, number one, the plan's bad, but they may also be not able to help.
Yeah. My view is this. They're looking for low-hanging fruit. They're looking for immediate sales because that's the goal. Rarely will an agent today educate you about all your options. They're going to educate you about the option that makes them the most money. And that's just the way the business works. And so these ads are designed to get people to call, and rarely are people going to take advantage of all those added perks. They just can't because there's not enough money available. That we need the Medicaid money in there as well. And so another thing you'd be aware of is that not all ads are about Medicare, Medicaid, but what they are almost always about would be HMO plans. And so you probably are not going to want to be on an HMO plan, maybe, but maybe not. And the reason they do this is because when you think about HMO plans, this is a very restrictive type of a network. And the reason insurance companies like HMOs is because they're able to control those costs more. They pay the hospitals less. They pay the doctors less. In fact, we will see and you will see people that will, doctors that will take maybe a PPO plan, but not an HMO because that reimbursement rate is so low. But again, what are the advertisers doing? They're advertising those plans where they're HMO plans. And so when the agent talks to you, they're going to ask you about your doctor, hospital choices, and then what happens? Oh, they're not in network. So again, there's the switch.
Bait and switch.
Now we're going to move you then to a PPO plan. Doesn't mean that's bad, but again, you called in because you saw the benefits offered by an HMO plan and probably not going to be able to be really taken care of well by that particular plan. In fact, we have people who work for us that worked in call centers that push Advantage plans, and they told us they get bonused if a call was completed within 30 minutes or less. Who cares if you really got all the information you needed, but that agent was able to successfully write a plan and got a bonus on that. That's really a shame.
Okay, let's talk to Joel in Indiana. Joel, welcome to Medicare School Daily. What questions do you have, sir?
Okay, the best enough partner, Kelly, has her insurance through the Healthy Indiana plan. Now, because that's a government subsidized plan, she turns 65 in February. Will she be able to stay on that plan, or do we need to find a different plan?
Okay, let me ask you this. I am assuming it is not an employer-provided plan. Is that correct?
No, it's the state of Indiana.
Okay.
So like an Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, they have a state exchange.
Okay, state exchange, okay.
Exactly right. And so, Joe, what she's going to have to do, what you're going to have to do, is she's going to have to go on Medicare because all
right.
the...
Right, yeah, you know, that's what she planned on doing.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the right thing to do.
So that plan will go away and we'll sign up a plan then on Medicare.
Exactly right. Now, Joe, is she on Social Security yet?
No, she won't be going on Social Security. I think I've talked to you guys about that before, like 3 months before she turned 65.
Okay, is that when she wants to start her Social Security at 65?
Yes, she does.
Okay, good. Yeah, actually, you can do it 4 months if you're going to tie it in with the Medicare and Social Security, and 3 months
four
is fine.
Months.
Yeah, four and 3 months is fine as well. I'm just saying to you, when we're doing Medicare only, you can only do that 3 months prior to your birth month. But if it's a Social Security application, then you can do it actually 4 months in advance.
Okay. However, that four, if you start doing everything 4 months in advance, that would be November, right?
Right.
She's turned 65 in February.
February 2nd.
You are right in the annual enrollment period, which means
it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, so you may wait until just right after that ends, December 7th or something, December 8th, to do it all. Because everything kind of slows down. Take a little bit of time, enroll. Yeah.
And Josh, I agree with you. I think that's right. But let me say this. I think most people are uncomfortable waiting.
Sure.
So if you're comfortable waiting, Josh's advice is accurate. But if you don't feel good about it.
Yeah, no, that's not a problem.
She'll do it online, right?
Yeah.
The application.
Yeah.
She can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then really, what's the first day of her window that opens up to do all that?
Yeah, be October 1.
October 1. Exactly. So here's what you could do, not to jump forward into like giving you advice and instructions right away, but...
Oh, I understand. You guys did my Medicare, so
yeah,
that's fine.
So maybe you do it, maybe it's like this. Go ahead and get her enrolled and apply for Social Security and Medicare after October the 1st. Then the card will come, you know, 4 or 6 weeks later. And then when it's time to set up the supplement, the advantage, all that, you know, you could wait till after December 8th if you want. Just take your time. Mm-hmm. Or do it right away.
Yeah,
just saying it's busy.
Yeah, a lot of people think that because we're at that time we're going through the open enrollment season that you have to do it. But she's coming in because she's turning 65. So it has nothing to do with the October 15th to December date.
Yeah, December 7th deadline ain't going to apply to her.
Yes.
All righty.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome, Joe. We appreciate
the
call. Nice talking to you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Most people are uncomfortable. They want to get it done.
Sure.
And I don't blame them. So you're right. From a practical standpoint, it is all right to wait. But most folks are uneasy about it. They just put it off. And so I'm just saying, if you're comfortable waiting, do it. If not, you're fine doing it after.
When did you do it?
Well, I did it last minute. I'm in the business. I wouldn't worry because I know exactly how it worked. In fact, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I literally did it 2 days before January 1.
December 29th?
Yeah, 30th, like the 29th to 30th. It was terrible. And I started January 1.
Did you apply for your supplement plan then?
Oh, yes. I did everything.
You didn't have a drug plan, though, did you?
No, I didn't. Yeah. I put that. I had to wait until February 1. Well, it did
they
save me and Irma.
It did?
Absolutely.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't because I didn't have a drug plan, so I didn't have an Irma the first month.
So you save a few bucks. Yeah. They always say the plumber's house, the toilets never work.
And the mechanic's car is the last one that gets fixed. And so,
the painter's house is always looking dilapidated.
Now, I'm not recommending anyone do that, so don't do that. do as I say, not as I do.
That's what you always said growing up. Okay, Dad, there is a medication that's really popular that I think has been having some recalls or something. Can you tell us about this?
Yes. Just recently, there was an Indian manufacturer of a medication called metoprolol succinate.
That's super popular.
Yeah, exactly. There's two types of metoprolol. There's metoprolol tartrate. People have to take those twice a day. But succinate is extended release.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the difference of that. I always knew
that's
when you go type it in,
tartrate,
to ask. Okay.
You have to take it twice, and this is extended release, so you don't have to. But for those people that may not be familiar with it, it's basically a beta blocker, and it's used to treat high blood pressure, angina, and heart failure.
Okay.
What's also interesting about this medication is it improves the survival rate for those that have already had a heart attack. So very common medication. And so what it does, it slows down the heart rate.
So if you're on metoprolol, do you need to throw it away? What's the deal?
No, let's talk about that. Well, it is this. No, not at all.
Okay.
Not necessarily. So the one that we recall were 25 milligram strengths. And I'm going to go ahead and say the lot number just so no one panics here. I want you to know exactly which lot
it
is.
How do you find a lot number? Is it on a pill bottle?
It is. Yeah, it should be. It is 25140859. Let me say it one more time, 25140859, 25 milligram strength, of course, generic metoprolol. And there was an expiration date on that lot of January of 2027. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, I read this stuff all the time. I would say this is not uncommon. I probably at least once every other week, we're seeing some type of manufacturer problem. So what they do, Josh, is they actually do tests on these meds. And this is the most common reason they recall them. It's called a dissolution failure. And what that means is the FDA did a laboratory quality control test and the active ingredient was not absorbed properly into the body. Ah. And so this thing's not going to work.
There's 14.8 million people that take metoprolol.
Yes, yeah.
How do you say it? Metoprolol?
Saying it right. Wow. Yeah, metoprolol. And remember, this is succinate, not tartrate, in that particular lot number. So if you were on that, hopefully you know by now. But
go to
not,
the pharmacy, take it back.
Exactly right. They'll make that right.
We're going to get to Keith in Connecticut. Keith, welcome to Medicare School Daily.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. What's your question, sir?
Well, first, let me say thank you to both you guys, but especially to your dad. I've learned so much about Medicare. I've sent all my friends and neighbors and colleagues to watch your videos. And I wake up in the middle of the night, you're on my Facebook. So God bless you. You guys do great
Sorry
work.
About that. Yeah, just you know? Click
no,
the link.
You know, No. I learned so much from you. I just God bless both of you for the great work you're doing. And I really cannot understate how much you're valued out in the street. Yeah, well, everyone adores you.
That's kind of you. We appreciate the encouragement, Keith.
So here's why I'm calling. I went on Medicare last year, so I had my income from, 2 years ago. I'm paying an IRMA. I got my welcome letter and I got an IRMA. But I stopped working in February of this year. I retired. So when I do this IRMA form, thank you. Now I don't know what I'm bored. So I'm gonna have
time to pick up golf
anyway,
or something.
Yeah, right? Something to keep me busy. What I'm confused with on this IRMA form is my life-changing event happened in February of 26, mm-hmm. and it was a work stoppage, obviously. But on the form, in step two, do I put my 25 tax return numbers, and in step three, I put what I think they are for 26 with my reduced income?
Well, you can do that, but you don't have to. What you can do is in step two, go ahead and give them your 2026 numbers. You do not even have to complete step three. In fact, I encourage people, don't even worry about it. So the point is,
so he put in 26?
Yeah, oh yeah, he can tell them exactly what you're going to make, or at least close to what you're going to make in 2026, and they will look at that because that was your life changing event. It happened this year. So don't worry about step three. It really will not matter. Because what's going to happen as we roll into 2027, Keith, they're going to look back at 2025 anyway, and they're going to send you another IRMA letter because
you're
your income was high in 2025.
Yeah.
So it's not going to carry over. I wish the system worked that way. And by looking at the form, you're thinking, oh, I'm appealing this IRMA for 2 years. That is not reality. So just put in the 2026 and step two, leave step three blank, and you should have no issues whatsoever. Put down your life-changing event, February 2026. However you file whether it's head of household or, married filing joint return or single, however you do that, give them the new numbers and they will not hold your 2024 income against you. They will use 2026 and you'll win that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and you also don't have to. Some people do I have to submit pay stubs? Because on page 8 it says an original signed statement from your employer, copies of pay stubs, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do that.
That's right.
It says in the absence of such proof, we'll accept your signed statement under penalty of perjury. Yeah. Right. So
you're
just
basically
sign
signing an affidavit when you signed the form.
Saying
so
it's true.
If you had proof, submit it. It's fine.
Most people don't.
But if you don't worry about it. Your signature is your proof that you're telling the truth, subject to, penalty if you're lying.
And then what happens is when I file my 26 tax return and they claw back in 28, they'll kind of check this to make sure I'm fairly accurate.
They will audit it.
And you don't have to be
right.
to the penny at all.
Are you single or married?
I'm widowed, so I'm single. Okay, but okay, the thing okay. is, I'm going to drop from paying almost $300 a month to going to 202. So it's worth
Good.
Me doing this form.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Sir. Absolutely. So you have to fall below the 109,000.
I am.
Okay, good.
I am.
Yep, and you'll win it. They won't fight you. And if it doesn't go, as I said, you call us back, okay? But
I'm going to call you during open enrollment because you guys deserve my business. You do great things.
All right.
Thanks. Now, Did you get set up on a supplement or?
What'd you do in Connecticut?
He's not quite 65.
We're blessed in Connecticut. We don't need a physical to get on a supplement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
And we don't need a physical to switch.
Yeah, you're open.
So I went advantage.
Okay.
Knowing that I could move anytime regardless of my health conditions. It's so far in Connecticut, you don't need a physical to get onto a supplement. So I did advantage.
There you go. Okay. Right. Well, we'll be happy to serve you come October.
Yeah. Let us know, Keith.
Need to make switches.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, appreciate the
call.
Bless
both of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's talk to Sandra in New York. Sandra, welcome to Medicare School Daily. What questions do you have for
us?
Hi.
What my question is I wondered if you have any insight. I'm in United Healthcare, and they changed their policy this year to where all your doctors need referrals from your primary. And we're having nothing but issues with the insurance company and all of our doctors. They're all set up with the insurance company with all the extra work it's causing, and they don't want to hire extra people to take care of all these referrals. A lot of our doctors are saying they're not going to carry this insurance anymore, and they're not taking new patients because of it. So there's a lot of anxiety on our part of what we're supposed to do. Every time we need a referral, it takes time to get the referral, and we don't get it in time. And the doctors are threatening that if they don't get these referrals, they're going to cancel our appointments on us. So there's a whole lot going on.
Are you a Buffalo area? Or where are
yes.
you? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And you're on United Healthcare, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
We're assuming that you're on an Advantage plan. Is that correct, Sandra?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And this is a new thing you're experiencing, right? So sorry for the 20 questions.
I just retired a year ago, and we got on this insurance last year, and there was no referrals needed.
Yeah.
And then January came around, and they changed it to where you need a referral for any doctor that you go to except for your primary.
Yes.
And the doctors are all getting fed up, and they don't have the people to handle all this extra work, and they're just saying they're not going to carry us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sandra, let me ask you this. How long have you been on this Advantage plan?
Since May of last year.
So May of 2025.
I'm assuming it's like an HMO plan, correct?
Yeah. I just pay my monthly, and that's it.
Yeah.
HMO Medicare Advantage plan.
Yeah, so. HMOs require that you have to have a referral in order to see a specialist. And basically what's happening is your primary care doctor is forced to become the gatekeeper to make sure that you really do need to see a specialist, number one. Number two, that you're seeing somebody that is within the network so that it'll be covered. That's the purpose of that. So, Sandra, my question is there any way at all that you could afford to go on a supplemental plan? Have you looked at some of the plans before?
I don't know. I'm totally lost. When we called last year and I got set up, they said that this was the best plan for us for our area.
Yeah, and again,
so we took it.
Yeah, and again, it really could be. It could be for sure. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying to you, I'm just curious if maybe you could go on one. If this is the primary issue, the only way you're going to get away from having to get referrals is to go on a supplemental plan, because original Medicare and supplemental plans do not require referrals at all. The problem in New York is the prices. They're very expensive. So that's why I can see exactly why someone, even if it was us, would have recommended an Advantage plan. They just simply make sense for up there. No. Another way that you could avoid this, and by the way, Sandra, I'm just sharing thoughts with you. I'm not telling you what to do because you're really, you know, you're in a difficult situation. Another thing, if I were you, I would probably look at what is called a high deductible G plan. And just so you know, as a general rule, I'm not a huge fan of high deductible G plans. But the reason I'm saying that is because at least then you wouldn't have to deal with referrals. Now, you would be responsible to pay for the first $2,950 out of your pocket. Medicare pays first, and then your plan's not going to pay anything until you've paid the $2,950. But that's $250 a month. You take that $3,000, you divide it by 12. So it's basically about $250 a month on average. Your G plan is going to be, you know, fairly reasonably priced.
The high deductible one.
The regular G plan is very pricey in New York. And again, across the country, I would not even give this advice. But where you are, you're just in a very difficult situation. So what I hear you saying is, hey, do you guys have any ideas to get me some relief from this requirement to get referrals? And frankly, this is the only way to do it.
Well, I mean, PPOs, right, could be an option.
Yeah, are there PPOs in her?
Yeah, there's some PPOs that are available. You'd have to, here's the thing. So in the Medicare Advantage plan world, for a long time, I would say the last 5 years, there has been a really big push and trend towards getting people on PPO plans, because PPO plans are a bigger group of doctors. You don't need a referral. If you go out of network, you have some coverage. The problem is it's put a lot of strain on these Medicare Advantage plan carriers. And so now they're all trying to get everybody pushed back into an HMO plan, which it sounds like is what happened to you. So this isn't just happening to you. It's happening to a lot of people because they can't make the economics of the PPO plans work. So we're expecting to see over the next probably 5 years a big push from people going from PPOs to an HMO.
Because they're going to have to.
Yeah, it just has to, because those PPO plans are literally starting to go away. And when they, and if they're not going away, then they're making the benefits so bad, like the max out-of-pocket is, you know, $14,000 or something. It's just, it's a lot.
They don't make them attractive enough where anyone wants them.
Yeah, so you're kind of in this very interesting position. There are some PPO plans that are still available. They've got pretty high max out of pockets. My suggestion would be, let's talk, maybe call into our company when it gets rolled around to annual enrollment period, which would be October. And let's see if we can see what PPOs are available.
For 2027.
Yeah. That being said, we expect for there to be fewer than 2026, just like there were fewer in 2026 than in 2025 and so forth.
Yeah. And I like Josh's idea. I think it makes sense. The premiums are their premiums.
Yeah, there's $0 premium.
Okay.
Ones.
So,
but those in-network max out of pockets are almost all $10,000.
Right, right. So I like his idea. The other thing that you may want to look at is what I had suggested would be the high deductible G.
Yes.
That is definitely a possibility. And
but
then you eliminate it fully.
She can't do that till this annual enrollment period.
No. No,
she
is in New York, and so I think that's something. I don't think she can, but that could be an exception.
Have a way to get off the drug plan.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how does that affect like the insurance companies? All these doctors are jumping ship and don't want
to. It's kind of working out according to plan for the insurance carriers, because they don't want that
they
business
frankly
anyway.
Don't care.
The doctors are all telling us that this is their way to get out of having to pay for anything for the people.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably true.
They're trying to slow down the whole process so everybody gets aggravated.
Yeah, this is the way they control cost.
It's
frustrating. They bring friction to the doctors, friction to you as the patient, and they succeed at it. It's very unfortunate. The insurance companies today have way, way too much power in this whole scheme of health insurance. It's ridiculous. So we feel your pain. But right now, and of course, you know, I know that New York is an open enrollment state, so I'm not sure that she would have an opportunity to go to a supplemental plan right now. Josh is saying no. So you're going to have to stay where you are, jump through the hoops, but hopefully be able to improve your position. So meaning going, stay on Advantage, go to PPO plan, Sandra, or look at the possibility of going to a high deductible G plan in New York. And again, those rates, I'm not even sure what they are, but we've looked at them before, and I think they're halfway decent. You just have to have that $3,000 set aside in case, you know, something were to happen. That doesn't mean you're going to meet that high deductible, but it does give us a way to get away from this whole network issue that you're dealing with right now and referrals.
Okay. Okay.
So give us a call as we approach the open enrollment season, October 15th, December 7th, and hopefully we can get you in a better position.
Okay, great. Yeah, you guys helped me a lot last year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk in October, and we'll see what PPOs are available for next year, and then look at high deductible Gs as well.
Thanks for the call, Sandra. Nice to talk to you.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you're in New York, it's difficult. I mean, I looked up the plans for her an in rate. It's $400.
Right, yeah. Well, what happens when these insurance companies make all these, you know, highly friendly consumer laws, these insurance companies, they're for profit. You're not going to make them do anything.
Well, you said when these insurance companies
insurance commissioners.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. I don't know what I said. But, insurance commissioners make these rules. And you have the, you know, legislatures that make these rules. This is going, it happens all over the country, where they feel like they're making things better for the consumer.
Friendly.
Yeah, but they're really not.
So what would be an example of that? Like what in New York specifically?
Okay, well, number one, it's a community rated state. That means everybody gets the same rate in New York.
So we're talking about supplemental plans.
Exactly right. Yeah, and then
that doesn't even make sense.
I mean,
it sounds good. Like, oh, your insurance is going to go up. Well, an 85-year-old is probably using far more services than a 65-year-old.
Right.
So you want to build a sustainable system?
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, well, a 65-year-old has to pay more, substantially more. So that hurts the market. And then you have definitely a guaranteed issue state, open enrollment year round.
So it doesn't matter if you've got kidney disease, had a heart attack last week, and you're undergoing cancer treatment, every insurance carrier has to take you. And that sounds great, again, from a consumer's perspective who's undergoing that. But it takes that strain and puts it on everybody. So what do? They make supplemental plans be four times the cost.
Well, and that's why there's only two companies that want to write business, or maybe three in New York instead of 15 in our area, because these companies are forced to do things they don't want to do. The government doesn't have to make a profit, but companies have to survive.
Let's talk to Ernest in Pennsylvania. Ernest, welcome to Medicare School Daily. What questions do you have for us?
I signed up for Medicare for December 1st of 2025. And the gentleman that I signed on with, I'm not going to say any names, I had asked him a few questions, about a dozen questions, and he could only answer about maybe three of the 12 questions.
Okay.
But I decided to sign on with him, and he had told me that one of the things that he could not answer was the policy that I signed up with. Through his previous experience selling his policy, the G plan, of course, how much was the premium increased on a year-to-year basis?
Okay.
And he said that he couldn't answer that question. I would have to call the company. Well, after signing the contract, my broker then told me that through his past experience, that the premium increases between 7 and 10% annually. And I thought that was a big increase. I just didn't feel like he was upfront with me. This has been bothering me.
Sure.
And I'm wondering, within 6 months, from what I understand, I can switch my coverage, or can I also switch my broker?
So first off, when it comes to stability of rates, in the past, Josh and I have been doing this 15 years now, we have been able to, with confidence, tell people that we're normally going to see anywhere from about a 3 to 7% price increase. But from COVID years on, everything changed. And so it's not like that any longer. So I think it's difficult for us to give numbers to people because companies have been going up 10 and 20%. So it's, you know, very disheartening that that's kind of where the market is. In regards to...
We don't expect that to last forever.
Right. Yeah, we do think corrections occurred. We're certainly hopeful that we'll see a return to stable rates. But what happens is this. Not all carriers do report their previous price increases. Many do. And we actually have access to that information. Sometimes, you know, people even will ask us, hey, can you tell us? And we'll tell you what's available publicly. But again, not all report that. So once you know about that, I do think rates will become more stable. But no agent can predict how stable a company is going to be because we don't know how many claims are going to be within that group. So if you want to move, you can. And we'd be happy to help with that. Just, you know, call in and you don't have to medically qualify. You just simply would switch. And the way we would do that is we'd submit the application. It'll automatically go through. And then you would have to call Medico and cancel that effective 5/31 or June 1st. And then your new one would go into effect.
June 1st.
June 1st. So you still have time to do that, sir.
It's easy to do if you need help. Do you have our office phone number?
I do.
Let us know. Ernest, any other questions you have for us before we let you go?
That's it. Thank you so much for your insight and your professional.
We appreciate your call.
Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.
If it's time for you to go on Medicare, maybe you're turning 65 or you're just now retiring, you probably need some help. If you need help comparing plans, whether that's comparing Advantage plans or supplemental plans, or maybe you've decided on a supplement plan, but now you need to decide between Plan G and Plan N. Maybe you're on 3 or 4 meds and you need to make sure that your medications are covered. Maybe you've decided on an Advantage plan because it's going to work well for you. You got to make sure all of your doctors and the hospital systems are in network. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of decisions and it's hard to do this all alone, and it's scary to do it all alone because maybe you don't know what you don't know. So if you find yourself in that situation and you want to get help from someone who's been trained by my dad, Marvin Music, I want you to just consider calling in. The phone number to reach our office is 800-782-6676, 800-782-6676. And when you call in, you're going to be connected to someone who can do a screen share like a Zoom call with you or just talk over the phone, whatever your preference is. You can work with someone who's been trained by my dad to be able to work through your situation, your financial, your health, your physicians, and all of the considerations and help you come to the right decision. We'll also assist you with IRMA paperwork, Part D enrollment, Part A and B enrollment, Social Security enrollment, whatever it is, you can get help and you don't have to do this alone. So if you need help, call in 800-782-6676. You can get immediate help. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. We would love to serve as your insurance broker.
Don't wait. Call Syndication Networks at 800-743-1988 or send back the agreement to lock in your market. MedicareSchool.com Answer Hour. Healthy ratings and revenue for your station. Syndication Networks.